This episode is sponsored in part by Airbnb. You know, Jen and I love trotting around the globe. You gotta trot, you can't gallop or anything. And Airbnbs have become our go-to for a cozy stay wherever we land. So when we finally decided to put down roots and build our own place, we thought, why not sprinkle a bit of that Airbnb magic into our home? We went all out, designed it with a spare bedroom that comes with its own exterior door. This way, our guests can come and go as they please, making check-ins and check-outs a breeze. We've been lucky enough to host folks come into town to visit family and friends. Inspired by our travels, we wanted to make their stay extra special. So we began adding little personal touches here and there, snacks, bottled water, a brochure with our local recommendations that we made, even some cool samples from our show sponsors. It's all about making our guests feel welcomed and cherished. And really, when you think about it, why let your home just sit there gathering dust when it could be your ticket to more incredible adventures? Turning it into an Airbnb not only brings in a little extra cash, but it's also a fantastic way to share a piece of your world with others. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
This episode is sponsored in part by the Commercial Break Podcast. Have you ever wondered why somebody would date a ghost or why some people get married to cats? Have you ever thought to yourself, I should learn to speak a Martian language? Or why do television preachers have such expensive jets? Of course you don't. That's because you have better things to do with your time. But the good people over at the Commercial Break have plenty of time to waste, and they are answering these important questions and a whole lot more. The Commercial Break is a comedy podcast where two longtime best friends, Brian and Chrissy, get together every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to discuss life, love, and the pursuit of absurdity, like sinister ministers, ridiculous MLM companies, alien light language, TV dating shows, monster hunters, terrible psychics, and a whole lot more. The Commercial Break uses an unlikely friendship as a backdrop to discuss the insane topics they find online and reflect on their 20 wild years as best buds. The Commercial Break is available wherever you find your podcasts or visit tcbpodcast.com. Find all the video and audio of the show. You can also go to The Commercial Break on YouTube and find the video version of the podcast, and all of the episodes are available on the YouTube channel.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jordan Harbinger. As always, I'm here with my producer, Jason DeFilippo. I've always been supremely interested in human nature, and I want to learn what makes us tick. Of course, that's why we're all here. I want to learn what influences us, why we behave the way that we do. So, of course, when I heard there was a guy who could train untrainable dogs, and much of what he was doing was reprogramming the owner of the dogs, I was fascinated. And I think we've all grown up in some way, as big grown-up kids or otherwise, with the Dog Whisperer. And today on the Jordan Harbinger Show, we're here live from Cesar Millan's ranch talking to the man himself. Today we'll explore Cesar's journey from one of the most dangerous parts of Mexico to being homeless on the streets of L.A. to worldwide fame as the man we've come to see has damn near supernatural powers when it comes to training dogs and, of course, training their human companions as well. And if you want to know how I manage to book guests like Cesar Millan and manage my relationships using systems and tiny habits, check out our 6-minute networking course, which is free. It does replace level one, which you might have heard of before. That's over at jordanharbinger.com/course. All right, here's Cesar Millan.
What happens in the dog mind when I get out of the car, I'm in your parking lot, and they run up and I go, oh, hello, and I'm doing this and I'm petting them. And it's like, then I look at the sign 10 minutes later, says no touch, no eye contact, don't talk to the dog. And I'm just like, great, we're already breaking all three rules.
Yeah, it's no touch, no talk, no eye contact. If you were in a situation where it's horses, you will have no problem behaving calm. Because for many, 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 many years, people have told you that horses are a very sensitive species. And the best way to get to their heart is if you're calm and you ask for space. That means respect. So calmness leads you to trust and space leads you to respect. For some reason, that information didn't go to the dog-loving world. It stayed with the horse-loving world. you know?
Yeah, I would never run up to a horse and go, ah. I'd feel like I would get bit or kicked pretty quick.
Or you can make the horse run away from you. So your experience of getting to know the horse will be zero, right? So you're not only going to do that, but if you have a child next to you, you make sure that that child follows that ritual, you know, because you know that's what is best for the next generation and for the horse as well.
That's interesting. So you recommend that with all dogs generally. Don't lean down and start petting them right away and start talking with them right away.
Or especially because they don't know you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, not every dog's friendly, right? You can get
No, every dog is friendly. The thing is you have to understand that if some dogs are born to be in the back of the pack, and those dogs are very sensitive. So those are what people call fear aggressive. And that's because they have to defend themselves from this approach of talk, eye contact. You know, every single dog in the world, regardless of what position he was born to be, the way he gets to know another dog is nose, eyes, ears.
Mm.
See, when the dogs are born, they're born with the nose open. 15 days later, they open the eyes. 21 days later, they open the ears. Nose, eyes, ears. This is scientifically proven, and every breeder in the world can tell you that that is the order. So the mother is scent before sight before sound. But the humans, we are ears, eyes, nose. We talk to each other. We see each other. Unless we develop an intimate relationship, we don't smell each other.
Yeah, that's pretty rare. I can probably count on one or two hands, maybe the number of people I've voluntarily smelled.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's not your inclination. Your inclination is to get to know that other human based on what they say and how they look like.
That's why it's so easy for us to lie to each other, right? Because we listen for the words first.
Yeah. We're not in tune to the feeling or the energy that human is saying, and animals are the opposite. So an animal is like very honest. If they don't like your energy, they're just going to fight, flight, avoid you.
Yeah. I want to talk about that a little bit later as well. I'm curious, how many dogs are on the property here?
Right now, we only have 11. 11, okay. 11 dogs. Once we start bringing, start shooting the show or helping people, it increases the amount because we also have farm animals. So our dogs, they live with me and they live here at the ranch. They interact not just with dogs, but with emus, with the horse, with the donkey, I grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
And a farm has the ideal social environment that everybody looks to achieve in a dog park. A dog park is the less ideal social environment for dogs because humans don't talk to each other.
Oh, yeah. They're on their phones. Instagramming.
Sitting.
Yeah.
They're not interacting. So if a dog, a lot of people say, my dog is my child. Well, you can tell that when a human goes into a dog park, that dog is not a child because nobody leaves a child unattended. You see
right.
how
That's
a human
a
switches?
Yeah, it's their child when they want to pay attention to it, but when they don't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just the human, in a very weird way, switches from, is it a dog or is it a child? If it is a child, it's not a problem. They still have to learn different. So for those people who have kids with mental disabilities, they have to shift the way the kid learn and experience the world. Well, a dog learn and experience the world completely different.
Hmm.
So you can still call it a child, but you have to treat him as the way he's capable to learn about the world and know about the world.
I know at one point you had 65 dogs and you were charging like 10 bucks a day because you were illegal immigrant.
An illegal immigrant.
But you're an awesome taxpayer now, I bet.
Yeah. I do, man. I do. That's why I end up buying a property. You know, I find out about once you start making enough money and you enter into a different bracket of taxes.
Yeah. From zero to a lot. Right?
From zero to, yeah.
I won't ask for the details on that.
America's great. You know, this is the land of quality opportunities and immigrants will tell you best. There is no need for a person to have no job because if immigrants can get a job, an American citizen should be a piece of cake from.
You're in many ways the epitome of the American dream. And I'll get the backstory here in a bit, but essentially this is a meteoric rise, to what, 20, 30, 40 years to an overnight success, I guess, at this point. So.
Well, I mean, let's not call it overnight success, but
40 years to overnight
success. Yes. I mean, it's definitely something that you work at it every single day. in the beauty of life, you're going to have those downs. You know, you're going to meet those dishonest people, those people without integrity, those disloyal humans. Because I come from a different, you know, way of living in a more animal-like, you know, honesty, integrity, loyalty. And then you meet those humans. But it's part of life. You know what I mean? It's part of life. So, yes, it's definitely it's a rocket thing. But then you meet those obstacles. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When you were growing up, the area where you're from in Mexico now is even more famous than I guess it was because of Netflix Narcos. Yes.
We were famous before, but, yeah. You know, thanks to Netflix, we're like Medellin famous.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And Pablo Escobar status had it be.
I know you're from Sinaloa area.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
Not only from Sinaloa, I'm from Culiacán, Sinaloa.
Okay.
That is the Mecca. That's what I'm saying, Medellin. And Medellin was the Mecca of the drug cartels, and you know, and that's where Pablo Escobar is from. We have so many, and the most famous right now is El Chapo.
Yeah.
And but we have so many. I mean, I don't know how, but most of them came from there.
When you were a kid, was that your example growing up? Like, look at this.
Oh my God, yes. It's that soccer players, Luis Miguel, a singer. Who else? Telenovelas guys.
Oh, the soap opera.
Soap opera guys. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Cantinflas. Yeah. But those guys were definitely the main source of what a kid should become one day. Because that's all it is. It's all it is. That's all it's around there. They help a lot of people. They, you know, if you ask them who helps you more, the drug dealers or the government, they will say the drug dealers. You know what I mean? They pay medical, schools, clothes, all the basic stuff. You know what I mean? Poverty, poverty is not that you have no money. Poverty is you have no medical help, no education, no roof over your head. You know, the food sometimes is just coffee. So they can numb. So here we drink coffee just for fashion.
Sure.
Over there, they drink coffee because there is no food.
So it puts the hunger down.
That's right. And now, like here people use it so they can lose weight.
Yeah.
So they
don't eat. It's not working for me.
We use them so we don't eat. So we don't get hungry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The hunger part. And so when you were little, were you thinking, I'm going to be a narco?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
I was 10 years old when I came to my mom. I said, Mom, you know, obviously in our tradition, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people are very, I have a lot of empathy and compassion for moms because they end up taking care of the pack.
Yeah.
You know, and so I saw my mom taking care of us, you know, breakfast and school, taking us, walking us to school, and then come back home and then start sewing, you know.
Sewing clothes?
Clothes, yeah. So people, you know, because over there, you don't throw anything. You mend things. And so she was doing that. So I would stay right next to her like a puppy because she would go to sleep at 3 a.m. And so, so that to me was, this is too much, you know.
Yeah.
So you see a lot of people doing the same thing, but something that did in my heart. So obviously I start thinking how I'm going to get my mom to a safer place and for her not to kill herself working.
Yeah.
My dad worked, you know, but, you know, it's just they don't get paid over there by an hour. And so they get paid every 2 weeks or every month, and they're very, very minimal. And so that's from that point on, I started looking at where I'm going to make money. And so those are the role models. So when I was 10 years old, I thought, I was working since I was six. But when I was 10 years old, I told my mom, Mom, when I grow old, I'm gonna be a drug dealer. And she's shook.
Oh, wow.
You know, slapped me across the face and said, if you want to kill me, that's what you do. And I didn't know that that was not the reason. I just want to make enough money. So she changed my mind and one snap out of it.
Because my next question, of course, was, well, what stopped you from doing that? And the answer
my
is
mom.
My mom slapped me in the face.
Yeah.
So you found out pretty quick, like, that's not something that I'm going to.
She was very offended and she was very hurt, you know, by this thought. It was, you know, I had no idea about the ramifications of that. I just saw that these people had money. They had good clothes I thought it was good clothes at that time and great cars and they will eat well. Mm-hmm. You know, they're always in good restaurants, or at least what I thought was good restaurants at that time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
That was no Nobu.
Yeah. Nah. Is that your favorite restaurant?
No, Nobu? That's one of them, but that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. You decide, I'm not going to be a narco. I'm not going to be a drug dealer. I assume at some point you go, all right, well, I'm good with dogs. I'm going to be a dog trainer.
I started watching Lassie and Rin-Tin-Tin.
Lassie and Rin-Tin-Tin.
That was the reruns. Our first TV, I was 8 years old, something like that. And our first fan, we were like 11 years old. Like, you know, because normally you got to do this. You know,
like a fan in the house.
Like a fan in the house. Oh, it was a big celebration time, you know.
Wow.
And there was a black and white TV. So then you change it like that, you know. And then you move that little antenna thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. So I started watching, you know, Lassie and Rin-Tin-Tin. And that's when I started seeing the castle, the Disneyland castle thing, you know. And then the Hollywood vibe. You know, they're stars. And when I was 13 years old, I told my mom, you think I could be the best dog trainer in the world? She turned around, she said, you can be whatever you want. She didn't agree with that.
Wow.
You know what I mean? She agreed with, I was going to a judo competition, and which is something that they have to do to redirect my energy.
A judo competition?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, coming from a farm, you have so much space to run and to help and physically burn your energy.
Yeah.
The city is more mind than physical. So I'm coming from a place where I can run, I can burn, I can swim, I can go to river, you know. I mean, your energy has been used to the max. And then in the city, no, I have to go to school. And so the way they were burning my physical energy is they sent me to judo, and then I started competing, and definitely, you know, I definitely won. But that's when I started saying, well, I like that Lassie and Rin-Tin-Tin thing. You know, I love animals, obviously, and I just didn't know that that can be something besides a dog trainer.
At which point do you decide, I'm going to the United States? You know, I'm going to make my way here. I got something bigger.
When I was 13 years old, I said, I want to be the best dog trainer in the world. And that's what I said about Rin-Tin-Tin, because the only place that I thought that I can become the best dog trainer in the world was the United States.
Okay.
Because I grew up watching also movies where the Americans were the heroes. You know, and so everything in America was the best in the world. So it's that marketing brain watches you. Everything is here, you know, which in a lot of cases it is. I just didn't know I had anything to offer to the American people, you know, like my wisdom of knowledge, my wisdom of energy, my wisdom of connection with animals. I had no idea that I can train humans. I thought I was going to come, learn from the best. You know, I was looking for Lassie and Rin-Tin-Tin trainers in particular. Yeah. And that's why I said I'm going to go to Disneyland or Hollywood.
Okay.
You know, that was my destination. You know, it was not Chicago. It was not sunny. It was no New York. It was no Texas. Nothing to me was Disneyland or Hollywood.
Okay.
Which they're all like places where you don't go to learn anything.
Yeah, I was like,
it's an entertaining top in all the world.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought you can go over there and learn. And look for Lassie and Rin-Tin-Tin.
Okay. Oh, like that's they'll just be around.
That will be around. Somebody will be around that's with funny. Lassie and Rin-Tin-Tin. That's the naiveness,
sure.
Which is absolutely fantastic for me because it just gave me no obstacle. You know what I mean? That's that naiveness way of thinking. Said, I just got to go over there. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like when people come here and say, I got to talk to Caesar. I'm from Germany. Just because.
They just show
I don't know
up.
If Caesar is here or anything like that. It's like that focus. And people found, you know, they said, well, I just woke up one day and said, I want to go see you. Like that. So that kind of focus, that's the important part. Is the focus of what you believe that makes you achieve what you want.
Okay, so you decide to come to the States, but you can't just walk over here. Well, I guess you technically kind of did.
2 weeks. It took me 2 weeks to came to come to America. Yeah, I saw people dying. Wow. And I saw people crying. I saw pregnant women getting hurt. I mean, it's a life and death situation that people risk. It's definitely life and death. And it's not like walk in the park kind of thing. Yeah. It's like America is welcoming you. It's like, here's some water. You know what I mean? Here's some food. No, you get cut. You know, you get cut. And that one thing about American officers is they do feed you.
When you get caught?
Yeah, when you get caught. Yeah, when you get caught, America feeds you. They give you a sandwich. Nothing special. No Jersey Mike's. Nothing like that.
No Jersey Mike's?
No Jersey Mike's. Nothing like that. No Philly cheese. Nothing like that. It's just a bologna sandwich, mayonnaise, and pretty. But this, I mean, it tastes like heaven, though.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and a Coca-Cola.
2 weeks in the desert. That Coke and bologna.
Yeah, definitely. You're in the border. So I was in the Tijuana border, which is the most common. So people there are from where I'm from, they take that path. You know, for some reason, everybody takes that path and, you know, it's like cheap. And if you're from the center of Mexico, they go through Matamoros. You know, okay. Yeah. So like the Dominicans, they always move to New York. You know what I mean? Like all the Latinos, like, okay, where's the Colombians? They're on that side. There's not a lot of Colombians on this side.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to The Jordan Harbinger Show with our guest, Cesar Millan. We'll be right back after this. Don't forget, we have a worksheet for today's episode, so you can make sure you solidify your understanding of the key takeaways from Cesar Millan. That link is in the show notes at jordanharbinger.com/podcast. Thanks for listening and supporting the show. To learn more about our sponsors and get links to all the great discounts you just heard, visit jordanharbinger.com/deals. If you'd like some tips on how to subscribe to the show, just go to jordanharbinger.com/subscribe. And now back to our show with Cesar Millan.
At one point, did you think, I'm going to end up going to the desert? They're going to leave me in a bath. I mean, we hear things like, go to Mexico, you're going to end up meeting somebody. You wake up in a bathtub full of ice and your liver is gone. Were you afraid people were going to take advantage of you when you were coming here?
Yeah, you do think about that. Because we're not thinking about like Americans doing that to us. We're thinking our own people doing it to us. You know what I mean? Because you are definitely a human trafficking type of thing. Yeah. Yeah. And you can end up being a mule.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean?
So yeah.
And I'm by myself. I'm 21 years old. It's just my faith, my passion, and my instincts. It's not smart at all.
No.
I'm not using my intellect to do that action. I'm just using my instincts, my passion, and my faith. So you pray a lot. You pray a lot, definitely. You know, I was trying, my dad gave me $100, which I had it on my shoe between my shoe and my socks. And that's all I had, $100. That was his life savings.
He said it was his life savings was $100, and he just gave it to you.
He gave it to me because he saw my resiliency. You know, he saw my focus. He saw it was no turnaround. You know, he just knew I was gonna leave. He didn't know I was gonna make it. He just knew, I said, I'm leaving. Because I was 21, so they couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah, so I left on December 23rd, which is, you know, right before Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Right before Christmas. So it was, you know, we're Catholic. So it was a lot of, like, religion type of thing. No, it's Christmas, this and that. So I spent 2 weeks on the border. So I spent Christmas and New Year's at the border trying to jump it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Same clothes.
Yeah, same clothes. No shower. You can't shower.
You can't shower.
Probably not much to eat, I would imagine.
The adrenaline is a lot of food, my friend. The adrenaline, the faith, and the passion, and that's how people in third world countries can actually make it. You know what I mean? It's just the adrenaline to live, the happiness of the next day, the faith. There are more believers in third world countries than actually in a country who has so much money. Here's a debate about what religion is better, or if even religion exists.
Mm-hmm.
Over there, we believe it does exist because we want that someone up there is looking for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that belief, it engages us in a relationship that at least someone who we can't see us, you know?
I feel like you would need that, especially if you're going to come to LA with I say no plan, but I guess your plan was to go to Disneyland, but by now you probably think that, okay, I had no real plan.
No, I had no real plan. I have no real plan. I have no real destination. I didn't know anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't speak English. I didn't know all the challenges that America would have for someone like me someone like me.
How did you get the first job then when you arrived?
Oh, job is piece of cake.
Job is easy?
Oh, my God, yes.
Job easiest part of the trip?
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, people love hungry people, you know, like hunger in the way where he's a good one. You know what I mean? That guy has what it takes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like picking up a soccer player. Everybody can hit the ball, but some guys have more hunger than the other. And that's the guy you pick. Because that energy, you can't make it. And so, you know, you don't get paid a lot, but that energy of being happy about sweeping for $5, cleaning cars for $5. Because, you know, and then I learned, you know, in AMPM and 7-Eleven, you got two hot dogs for 99 cents. So I have to make $1 a day, people.
Oh, to
that's
eat.
That's it,
yeah.
To eat. That's it. You grab those hot dogs, put some, you know, tomato and onions and ketchup and all of that stuff and eat it.
How long did you eat 2 hot dogs? 2 months. So that's a lot of hot dogs. That's 120 hot dogs.
That was fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I don't have to worry about making a lot of money.
Right.
You know, and then I find out about the Big Gulp experience. So
what's the Big Gulp experience?
Would you buy it once and you refill forever?
What?
Welcome to America. We don't get that. We don't have that in Latino countries. We don't. Because what happens is we go refill it and we sell it outside.
You sell the Big Gulp refill. Like you by Latinos pouring it into it. Other.
That's right. Latinos will go but refill it and sell it outside.
So if you buy a soda from somebody on the side of the road, it's probably a refilled Big Gulp.
We don't. No, you in Mexico, you're going to see a lot of people selling you soda in a little bag with a straw.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah.
That's what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. You know, so you talk about recycle. We were doing recycle way before America came on board.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we recycle necessity. Everything. Everything, you know, organic, way before Whole Foods was open, we were doing organic. So that we just call ourselves poor. You know what I mean? Vegetarian,
full circle,
vegan,
yeah.
That's poor.
Yeah, can't afford meat, vegetarian.
Exactly. So it's like, here it's like, I'm vegan, I'm vegetarian, I have money. You know what I mean? Yeah. That means you buy Whole Foods.
Yeah.
But to us, that was just that your economy level was that. So that's why we're very healthy. You know what I mean? Okay. Yeah. We get
really
very healthy.
Funny.
Yeah.
So
we grow our own thing.
Yeah.
We can't buy it. We have no money. So we got to grow our own thing right there. That's organic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can't afford to eat, to kill chickens every day because you need the egg more than the chicken. Right. Yeah. And the pig or the cow, the goat. That's for weddings.
Right. Big events.
Big events. Big events. And that's around the world. If you go to Africa, that's around the world.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've heard of that.
You know what I mean? That's like a big event. Somebody's getting married. Okay, now we're going to do this.
Okay. Okay. And so at this point then, you're refilling the Big Gulp. You're getting surviving on 2 hot dogs a day. But you get this reputation as the guy who can walk like 30 dogs.
That's when I can't. So it was in San Diego.
Yeah.
Okay. So then in San Diego, I got a job in a grooming salon with these 2 awesome white ladies. And I learned my first sentence, do you have application for work? That's all I learned.
That was only.
That was it. After that, I have no idea what to say. And so the ladies, you know, I came in and do you have application for work? And they start telling me and asking me stuff. I couldn't answer, but they had a Cocker Spaniel in the back. And they show me a picture of this Cocker Spaniel, how they wanted it to be groomed. But the dog was biting them.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I went in there, grabbed the dog, hold the dog, touch the dog and start grooming the dog. And of course their jaw went down and how do I do it? You know what I mean? How this guy that is dirty can touch the dog and groom the dog without the dog feeling aggressive about it. And the dog actually, you know, start moving the tail. Trust me, you know, it's the energy, the approach, it was different. And so from that point on, I went from finding, you know, $5 a day, whatever you get with sweeping and watching cars. They charge $120 for that dog groom.
Wow.
Which any groomer will get 50% of profit. So that day I made $60.
It's a lot of hot dogs.
That's exactly what I said.
Is it?
It's exactly what I said. So I end up grabbing $50 and turning it back because I thought it was just a one-time job, a one-time experience with them. And so no, I don't need, in my head, I don't need that many hot dogs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I give him $50 back. I keep 10. So I thought that was what it was worth. And all the ladies gave me the $60 and they asked me to come back the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So me being a Virgo, I saw their place and I started cleaning that place like it was mine. I, you know, we like things very, very clean. And so they were very appreciative because they were older ladies. So I started moving things, cleaning up. The place was just perfect. And so they loved that part and I started watching dogs. I started watching, preparing them for them so they can groom them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the bathe them, blow dry them, and then So I was like a machine. Young guy with two old ladies. I was like, I'm from heaven.
Yeah.
You know?
That's great.
So I made $1,000 in a month there.
And then shipped off to LA?
And then that's when I went to, I don't know if you ever heard about Miller Outpost.
No. What is that?
It was a store. It was a store where they used to, it was it's like Target, but so I went and bought my first 501.
Oh, jeans.
Jeans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, big time now.
I had no clothes. I was wearing the same clothes. I took a shower in the bathtub, in one of those bathtubs.
The dog bathtub?
Yeah.
Like at the grooming? So you're in there like kind of posing yourself down?
I mean, when you grew up on a farm, you got a bucket, you know, do that thing. So you MacGyver it. So I went and bought my first, with $1,000, my first jeans, which it was the worst thing I did because they were hard.
So the jeans were hard.
I never knew you have to wash them first, you know what I mean? And so that was the worst thing. But I got my first 501.
Nice. Yeah. So you're looking stylish.
Looking better.
That's right.
Not stylish.
Not stylish. Just not homeless.
That's right. Well, not too homeless. Yeah. And so I went to the Greyhound and then I bought a ticket. But you have to learn, when can you cross San Clemente immigration point?
Oh, those checkpoints.
Yes.
Yeah. I barely think about that because I don't get stopped at those.
Me neither either. Now.
Now you don't. Yeah. Because you're driving a nice car.
Yes. And they know who I am. So that's good. Everybody has a dog. All the immigration.
Sure.
You show help me a lot. So then, you find out when they're not checking so you can take the bus because they will stop the bus immediately.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you can cross in a car. That's not a problem. But it's the buses, they stop mandatory. So you learn the streets and then one time, this guy says, Caesar, they're not stopping anybody right now. So went and dropped the keys to the ladies. And
oh, you left like that on it. You didn't plan. It was like, let's go.
Yeah, you're in the streets. Wow. You don't plan.
Yeah.
Streets, you don't plan anything. There's no planning in the streets. Homeless people don't plan their day. They just live the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. It's a freedom behind, which is awesome. You know, here I have to plan. I have to talk to everybody. Make sure I'm going to Singapore in February 10. And so I have to plan. You know, in advance, how I want the animals to do, you know, to work or to be, you know, all of that stuff. And house and all
that. You still didn't speak English though, right?
No.
So how did you end up learning English? How do we get from, all right, I'm showing up in LA to dog trainer? I mean, because the rep was you were kind of this underground guy for a while that could walk all these dogs.
In LA.
In LA.
Yeah.
With no leash and the gangbangers are hanging out. And like, there goes the crazy guy with all the dogs.
Yeah. Yeah,
don't mess with the guy with the dogs.
Right. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's definitely crazy, you know, who has that many dogs off leash? Rottweilers, Pitbull, German Shepherds, you know. To me, you know, it's, if you see that painting right there, that's normal, you know. In Mexico, nobody has leashes on a dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dogs go to the market, to churches, to the beach. In third world countries, that's the leash law is not even a thing.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So the land of the free has more leash law than the land that we call not free.
That's right.
So for the animals, Mexico is way better. You know what I mean?
They can run around.
Yeah, they can fly, they can swim, they can run, they can do their thing. Yeah.
So you learn English because of just by being around it, or are you trying to figure out how to get a better job at this
back
point?
In that time, well, yeah, of course. My customers were NBA players, you know, NFL players.
So your word
Nicolas
is spread
Cage,
at this point.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas Cage,
okay.
Vin Diesel.
How did they hear about you?
Yeah,
do you know?
The Mexican guy in the street.
Oh, that really sort of went viral.
Yeah. I never had like business cards. So it was Mexican guy. So back then, the forum, it was where the Lakers used to play, you know. And so I was from Inglewood to South Central walking a pack of dogs. And I would start walking pack of dogs of people, their dogs were frustrated.
Mm.
You know, so I would go around, I was just bored and I asked people, hey, do you want me to walk your dog? And many ladies would say no. Most of the time the ladies were at their house and the man went to work. Say, no. And some ladies would say yes. So that in the hood, most of the dogs that they are outside are Rottweilers.
Sure, yeah.
Nobody has a Labrador taking care of their home. You know
right.
what I mean? You don't see Labradors in the hood. You see Rottweilers, Pitbulls, German Shepherds. So Inglewood and South Central is the hood. And so I started, to me, they're dogs. You know, just they were just Rottweilers. But to me, I seen a dog. So I started walking. And people start paying attention to that, you know? And I don't know if you remember, but it was a radio show. It was called Rick D's in the Morning.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So I love Rick because I love his English. It wasn't like if you would listen to 105.9, you know, like it was a lot more gangster, more.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to speak like, you know, with slang and anything like that.
Sure.
I just want to speak clear. So I started listening to Rick, you know, I had a boss, Jay Rio. He gave me a chance watching limos, and he gave me the opportunity to have an Astro van. And so he only speaks English to me, you know. I was a Caucasian guy. And then later on, I met Jada Pinkett Smith, and she had four Rottweilers. And that's when I told her, listen, I would like to do a little bit more than what I'm doing right now. I would like to have a radio show. I would like to be part of a TV show. You have to aim high, even
sure,
though it sounds crazy. I'm already in America.
Because you're washing limos and you're like, yeah, I want to be on TV.
Yeah.
People must have been like, okay, buddy.
Oh, most of them.
Yeah.
Especially the people close to you.
Yeah.
You know, they will totally doubt you faster than the people who is outside your intimate space. And that's something that people have to be careful about, it because that hurts. You know,
yeah.
So if you believe what they believe, you're done.
You're listening to The Jordan Harbinger Show with our guest, Cesar Millan. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening and supporting the show. Your support of our advertisers really keeps us on the air. And to learn more and get links to all the great discounts you just heard, visit jordanharbinger.com/deals. And don't forget the worksheet for today's episode. That link is in the show notes at jordanharbinger.com/podcast. And now for the conclusion of our interview with Cesar Millan.
Because you're Cesar the limo washer at this point. You're not Cesar Millan.
And I'm an immigrant.
Stuff. Yeah.
And they're like, speak English,
they're like, oye, hermano, no inglés. And you're like, shit, I got to figure this out.
I got to figure this shit out. And so, so those obstacles, those are obstacles,
yeah.
You know. But again, it's your belief, it's your faith, it's your passion, and it's the opportunity that you're looking at. You know, I'm looking at, I need to teach people what you see now. You know, I teach people about energy and dog psychology and then how to train dogs. But to me, it was like such a big opportunity.
Yeah.
I just have to speak English. I have to have papers.
It was, yeah.
I just have to speak the language of these people who are so in a need of being trained. That's when I start saying, I don't train dogs. I train people and rehabilitate dogs.
That's interesting. Yeah. Cause I've heard, and we're here at the Dog Psychology Center doing this, like in your, can we say like dream business, dream homes? Not really. We're kind of both here where we are, right? Like I would imagine you're washing limos. You're not thinking one day I'm going to have this giant farm full of animals and dogs.
No, I didn't think that way until I went to Runyon Canyon. When I started walking in Runyon Canyon, that's when I said, I need a piece of land like this.
Yeah.
And at one point I started asking this, is the Runyon Canyon for sale? It's like impossible.
Right.
You know, impossible to buy that piece of land. Okay, but I'm just going to make my own Runyon Canyon. So yeah. Runyon Canyon inspired me to have my own piece of land.
Nice.
It's a perfect place for dog walking.
This? Yeah.
Runyon Canyon. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is the best. But Runyon Canyon at that time became the place where you can practice walking and socializing and rehabilitating at the same time. You know, because people love to take the dogs to the dog park, but Runyon Canyon, you get everything.
You get people.
You get the walk, you get the social, you get the, if you need to work on anything, you know, with your dog, you get to do that as you walk, you know? So that to me was like, okay, one day I'm going to have my own Runyon Canyon.
You mentioned that you train people, you rehabilitate dogs.
Yes.
So I know you're learning a lot from dogs because I read the book, The Lessons from the Pack. But if 60% of training the dogs is training the people, you're kind of more human trainer than dog trainer.
I am human trainer. It has been in the history that people believe that you have to train a dog. That's why America opened a business for dog training, you know, and that is thousands and thousands of places where you can send your dog to be trained. But the most important member of that family who should be trained is the parent of that dog. You know what I mean?
Because
you're not only entering into parenting, you also enter into a child that learns completely different than what you're used to. You know what I mean? And so he's a different species. He has a, you know, different stage. It's the same stages in their life, but shorter. For example,
okay,
puppyhood is from birth to 8 months. Females become in heat at 8 months. She's not a puppy anymore.
Oh, wow.
So people keep calling puppy dogs who are 3 years old,
right,
because the dog, it has this playful disposition. You know what I mean? And that's because the dog is stuck into this playful state of mind. So he's not moving on.
Because humans aren't letting.
Because humans, I'm a baby, I'm a baby.
Right.
So the dog is a, like, it's almost like you're playing that song over and over and over and over and over. So the dog becomes brainwashed to stay in that frame of mind. You know, so when you want him to behave more mature, he can.
Right, because you're training him to not do that.
Yeah.
It would be like if you babied your kid until he was 30 years old. You're shaving him and you're, oh, you're so pretty.
The classic mama's boys.
Right.
There is men who their mom has kept them in that state of useless.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
And the guy wants to date a woman, but, you know, he's 4 years old, but he can't because he hasn't grown up. You know what I'm saying? So that, similar to that.
Interesting. Yeah.
Similar to that.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, wow. So behavior change in dogs and behavior change in humans, it seems like there's a lot of similarities. I've seen things on the show where, this is a long time ago, there was a dog had the tail between his legs or something, and he was really, he had some behavior that was negative because of that. And I want to see you tied the tail over the dog's head to kind of force, you basically forced him to act more confident as a dog.
If you change your body position, something happens inside of you. That's what they sell things, so your body position changes.
Right, the posture thing.
The posture changes, right? And so that's what they tell you. If you can't do it internally, do it externally. You know, so if you are, you know, Anthony Robbins' follower, he's going to tell you that your physiology can influence your psychology.
Sure.
You know, and so in a case like that, I needed to change the physiology to change the psychology. So most people will put a leash on the neck or on the muscle, you know, the halties or the harness, but that's not going to change this.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so when a dog feels good about himself, his tail looks high. That's why in a Westminster situation, they always grab the head and the tail, right? They always do that. So the dog presents himself as his most proud moment in his life. All right. So I know that the head has been touched many, many times. These humans have been pet, you know, the head.
Yeah.
So he has kept the head lower. But one area they have never touched is the tail. Nobody does, you know, because I've always think outside the box. That's part of being innovative and creative. And so I put a leash on the tail and the dog, whoop, and start running.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the dog is like, ah, this is the best day of my life. On top of that, I'm running. Fear is something that they have to run it out. So it was very important that I put a rollerblade so this dog can run as fast as and as long as she wanted to. It was a girl. She wanted to run that day because I want to be attached to, let's get rid of this fear.
Hmm.
And in the meantime, feel good at it.
When you were raising your kids, are you thinking, all right, I got to do some, I mean, stuff, right?
Same stuff. Especially when you're raising boys, you know, me being a male, we're body, mind, heart. You know what I mean? And my boys are outdoor type of guys, and the mind have to be busy, and you have to reward for the good things, you know? So exercise, discipline, affection.
Right.
Yeah. They have to work for their things, you know, and they have to be rules, boundaries, limitations. You know, definitely I have to lead by example. I want them to make sure they know that the only four energies they need in life is calmness, confidence, love, and joy. They don't need insecurity. They don't need anxiety. They don't need lack of love. If a human doesn't love them, just find love with an animal. Don't worry about it.
You know, really?
Of course.
So there's something to the cat love. Lady thing, huh?
You have to exercise love, just like you have to exercise your body, just like you have to exercise your mind, just like you have to exercise joy. You know, so animals only believe in four energies: calmness, confidence, love, and joy. That's it. They don't believe in misery.
I can see that. Unless we teach them that, of course, as humans, right?
We are the only one that teaches animals the negativity exists. Because animals will go through it, but they won't live in it.
Yeah, there's no
dogs live in the moment.
They don't sit around thinking, man, last year
God,
I had a rough year.
Oh, my God, that lion almost killed us all. Oh, my God, let's just don't go back over there.
Yeah.
See, we create stories, and those stories allow us to live in the past or anticipate the future. So then we forget about the moment. We forget about the present. But the people who actually are very present is the people who are about to die, like cancer survivors, are really good about that. They let go of the past. They let go of the future. Like that.
Yeah, there's no...
can't afford it.
Yeah, can't afford it. Exactly.
afford it. So why be a human who experienced that to live that way? You see it? So that means those humans went into an instinctual, passionate, spiritual way of being. They stopped being more mental. You know what I mean? They can't think about the past or the future. They have to instinctually survive, passionate, love life, and believe that they can pull it through.
You've had a lot of high visibility. The TV show's taken off. This business obviously is doing super well. It's got all kinds of things going on from Asia to training people here. Mm-hmm. Do the animals keep you grounded? Because at the end of the day, the dogs aren't like, oh, Caesar's so famous. He's so successful. They don't care. They'll still bite your leg.
Money, fame, and power does not exist in the animal world.
Right.
And that's why a lot of money, fame, and power people love them, because they keep them grounded. You know, so when we have famous people here, what they love the most is, you know, your dog doesn't know you are such and such.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I love that about him. He tells me like it is. You know what I mean? But humans are not allowed to be that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we can't really get rid of that mindset.
No, no. I mean, people in power, like, famous people are, you know, are easier to work than people in power. That means like the billionaires, like, you know, like politicians. And those people are harder to ground them.
Why do you think that is?
Because they're so used to being told what to say.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know, at least the famous people do yoga and meditation.
The ones that
the famous, the powerful people, they don't do that.
Right.
They just buy stuff.
Right. So they're just telling everybody else what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I have to go and tell them what to do.
Right. Oh, that must be.
Oh, the SS said, no, I pay you to change my dog and teach everybody here.
Right. And you're like, all right.
All right, son, but that doesn't work like that.
Right. Yeah. Here's a plastic bag to pick up the poop. You got to do that.
Yeah. Well, we can do that. But the part of them changing, the part of them like being there for the pack.
Sure.
You know, they're so used to the pack being there for them.
Right.
You get it?
Yeah.
So it's like, it has to be a combination of a good pack leader is there for his pack and a good pack is there for the pack leader, but it's mutual. You know, so one thing that I have learned as a dad and as a partner with my fiance is sometimes I lead, sometimes I follow. So you're not always in a leadership position because sometimes you're wrong. So if you're wrong, you shouldn't be leading.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I can see why that's hard for some people, though.
Yeah.
I can see that would be hard for me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because and then you enter into right and wrong instead of letting the flow be the right who is right. Because it's about what's best for everybody else. You know, we are the only species that follow unstable pack leaders. We are the only species in the planet that will follow unstable pack leader. Animals do not follow instability.
Why do you think we do that?
Oh, because we focus on money, fame, and power.
Ah.
Yeah. So if that person says that we're going to be more famous, more powerful, and have more money, we follow him or her. You see, so our focus has changed from harmony and balance to money, fame, and power.
Right.
So nobody comes to America for a spiritual retreat. People come to America for money, fame, and power, but Americans go to Peru for a spiritual retreat.
And ayahuasca.
And ayahuasca.
Yeah.
You see it? They go into the wilderness, and they go into the jungle of Brazil. They go, you know, and they go and talk to the...
Yeah, the shaman.
The shaman guys. Yeah. Like, those guys don't know how to read or write. You know what I'm saying? So that's not like you're asking. No, they don't. I mean, they that's not their thing. They're medicine men. You know, just like Native Americans here were medicine men. So that's what people, you know, do here. That's what we follow. And because America is the pack leader of the world for many things, you know, fashion, music, television shows, every actor wants to be a Hollywood actor, not just an actor in their country. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So America is a big role model. So because America does that, then we end up following unstable leaders everywhere.
Yeah, I see. So since we're focused on some of the wrong values, we follow the wrong people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But animals don't have that. And it makes sense. I know that You talk about humans wearing masks and animals wearing masks in a different way, right? Like a bird will pretend to be injured to get a predator away from its nest.
Correct.
But humans wear masks and then we leave that thing on for 30 years.
Yeah, we forget we got it.
Yeah.
we get comfortable with stuff. But your soul, your spirit will always remind you there's something wrong. Your instincts will always, you know, like people call it sixth sense, or people call it, you know, intuition. So that is real. But why do we become disconnected to it? Because we don't exercise it. You say, so you end up questioning yourself and believing what others say is right. You know what I mean? And so now you're not leading yourself with what you believe. You're leading yourself with what others believe. And that obviously doesn't help you personally. Your soul, you know, becomes sad. Your heart becomes sad. Your intuition becomes sad because you're not listening to you. So you forget about you. And your mind says, no, we're listening to us. Yeah, but it's only your mind making a decision. It's not the four of us who are in agreement with this decision. You see, so animals, every decision they make is made as a family. Nothing is moved like the congressman and the senators and everybody's making the decision.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So there is no agreement. Agreement is the most important word to do anything, good or bad. But animals, it's all about good. You see, even in the elephant world, the elephants were the species that told humans for a long time the females can lead the pack. Until now, we say females can be presidents of the world. But animals have been doing that for a long time. So if the male is unstable, females get rid of them.
Huh.
That's why the females lead the herd.
In elephants?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah, for hundreds of years. Because the male, when he enters into musk, he gets too aggressive, too disrespectful. So to the point that he can kill the little ones.
Ah.
You know what I mean? So he causes instability. So then all the females gather together and say, let's push him because he's unstable. Not because we don't love him. You see, they will not follow instability. So the guy has to calm himself down before he comes and enter and romanticize one of them.
That's really interesting. I did not realize that. And I know that there's a lot of talk among, and I saw this in your book as well, that animals, they can't be inauthentic, really. It's not in the programming.
You can be inauthentic when you think about it, you know, but when you react about it, you can. Like babies are not inauthentic. They don't know how. So when you are in a baby stage, you are instincts, love, and spirituality. You have no idea what you're going to talk about. If it's Chinese, if it's English, if it's Spanish.
Right.
You have no idea about culture. You have no idea about food. You know that you have to eat, but you know that you're going to eat sushi or that you're going to eat ribs or you're going to eat tacos.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, but what you seek as a baby is calmness, confidence, love, and joy.
Right. There's kind of no, to your earlier point, there's no anticipation. I would imagine Chinese babies aren't like, oh man, I got to learn Mandarin. It's going to be so hard.
That's right. And I got to eat with this thing. Just give me a fork.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, exactly. So at that time, you are in your animal form. You are in your spirit form. You are in your heart form. Society wants you to be smart because if you're smart, you make money.
Right. So all these, where we go off the path is all because of these value discrepancies.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So if we do like a combination of both, which is what I told my boys, listen, we're going to be earth people and we're going to meet money people. Of course. I didn't jump the border for nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But we're going to do it together, you know, and we have values to respect. We have a purpose to achieve and the meaning of life. That's it.
I've heard that dogs, and I'm sure that you agree with this, can read body language, nonverbal communication better than we can as humans. And so but you know how people go like, oh, my dog, I trust the guys that what am I trying to say? Like women will say, oh, I date the guys that my dog likes. If my dog doesn't like them, I don't date
100%.
Him. But is the dog reading the other person or are they reading our own?
Both.
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 Okay.
Because it's how the internet works. You know what I mean? Like a satellite. It bounces from it.
Okay.
So what is the response right away between those two? Right? So the guy the dog smells, he sees and feels. He's not hearing. He smells, sees, hears, feels. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, he's already connected to his human. So if his human gets a little nervous or a little excited, it's all related to that person. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So they're reading us as we read the other person, and they're also reading. So it's a combination of all the factors. And as you can hear, we don't just have dogs here.
He's a neutralizer of bullshit, right? So right away, he's like, okay, do we trust this human or no? That's the first thing. If you build relationships on trust and then respect, then love is piece of cake.
What are you thinking when people come in? And I'm sure you've heard this, because I've heard this. People go, oh, my dog doesn't like other races. My dog doesn't like African-American people. My dog doesn't
people,
like this.
And Mexican and then I'm, people.
Right. And, oh, yeah, people. My dog doesn't like Mexicans. Sorry. Right, and then right, I'm thinking, does your dog not like Mexicans do you not like
Do you have an issue with them?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Racism is something that you teach, you know, consciously, unconsciously. Kids are not racist or animals are not racist. They're honest about not liking an energy, but they have no clue that it's because the color of or the size of the person. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if the person is a handicap, that's what is called unconditional love. You know, so no matter how you look outside, what they care is about how you feel inside. That's the beauty. You know, so only humans teach about the outside. Only humans teach that. Racism only exists in the human world. Only.
So what do you think when people bring you dogs and they go, yeah, the problem is my dog doesn't like men and, you know, I want to be dating. Are you thinking you should probably go take care of your own issues about men or your own issues about?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, that's the part where I put my hat of honesty.
Yeah.
And I do want to help you, but I'm going to ask you some questions that have to do with you answering in a very honest way.
Yeah.
You know, how do you feel about men right now?
Yeah.
You know, that's simple as that.
My wife's cousin, I'm throwing her under the bus because she got a rescue dog. So there's probably some residual trauma there from something.
Yeah, no doubt about
it. But she's like, oh, the dog hates men. The dog hates men. Yeah. And it's like, okay. But how come the dog has never gotten better? That maybe she had a really traumatic experience with guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's something else going on.
Trust has level. You can trust people at a low level, medium level, high level. Mm-hmm. So that has to do with, it's very simple to answer the truth. You know what I mean? So do you trust men at what level? Do you respect men at what level? Do you love men at what level? And that just gives you an insight like, shit, you're right. I got to work on that. No wonder my dog is the one who's the only one who's honest.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And the dog says, hey, we don't trust men. You told me that every night, every time we go to sleep.
Right, right. Every time guys come over.
It's like she feels it.
Right.
Watching TV, the person can have an emotion and the dog picks it up. That person doesn't have to verbally say, you know what? I'm having trouble with men right now and I just don't know how to get it out. You know what I mean? They're not going to do that, but they're still going to experience it. It's like when guys watch like NBA or NFL and their team is losing, they go crazy and the dog walks away.
Yeah, because the dog doesn't care about...
The dog doesn't stay there. No dog stays when the man is going crazy. It's no way in the world. He doesn't enjoy watching you going crazy and talking by yourself and screaming and stuff like that. Nobody watches. I mean, it has to be another guy that is going crazy with you.
Yeah.
But it's not a dog that is going to go crazy with you.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I know that in your past, you had some traumatic stuff happen with the business. The original show was owned by some production company and then relationship issues at the same time.
Yes.
And you kind of had a spiral.
Yes.
And it led to some recovery in a new maxim, which is ownership, control,
leadership.
Yeah. How have you implemented that? First of all, how did you come to that?
Well, my whole thing wasn't to be knowledgeable about money, fame, and power. I didn't came to America to be famous, powerful, anything. I just came to learn so I can, you know, go back to mom. And I love my dad, but we always talk about that way as a Latino, this mom, but meaning the whole family. Support her, mm-hmm. You know, support them both for the later part of their lives. So I thought that everybody, you know, has the same level of honesty, integrity, and loyalty to an idea. I didn't know that dishonesty part in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I have no idea. You know, I was raised by my grandpa as well, and he died when he was 105.
Wow.
So that kind of man, that kind of mind is your your last Mohican kind of thing, you know, whatever he says is going to be done and it's a check in and that's it. And he'd rather die than do anything opposite of what he said, you know? So that stuff doesn't work here.
It's all about
the paperwork, you know, here is about lawyers. You better have a good pack of lawyers, you know, and that constitution that they're making you sign, it better be on your favor.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So you just kind of said, sure, TV show? Also, yeah, this looks great.
I manifested a TV show. You know, yeah. I was first interviewed by the LA Times. And at the end of the conversation, the lady says, so what would you like to do next? I mean, all these people are coming to you. I had a place in South Central, my first dog psychology center, you know, and Nicolas Cage, and, you know, just came in at that. And it's like, hey, in South Central. I mean,
yeah.
Dogs from Beverly Hills
yeah.
come to South Central to get rehabilitated.
I'm surprised to hear that.
That's right. So from the wealthiest place in the planet to the hood, the dogs, you know, normally it's the other way around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I said, well, we like to have a TV show. So I manifested the TV show way before producers came. But I just, I had no idea. No idea about that.
So, of course, yeah, you just said, great, this is working for me. You sign it. And then a few years go by and it's like, wait a minute. What do you mean I don't own this?
That's right. What do you mean I don't own my name?
Yeah.
What do you mean my kids don't own their names? What do you mean I'm not an owner of this library? You know, what do you mean I can't see the books? You know what I mean? So all of those things that you are totally unaware of, you know, the show is in 120 countries. You know, why we're not getting any residuals? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, no, it's on the red. How's on the red? It's 120 countries.
Yeah, it doesn't make any
sense.
You
know what I mean? It's like...
So they were just spending money, like, on these guys.
They were doing some amazing, terrible things that only a brain or the mind can do it. Because the instincts can do it, your heart can do it, your spirit can do it. There's no way your soul will let you do that. There's no way your heart will let you do that.
Right.
There's no way your common sense will let you do that. Only your wicked mind, negative mind will go against honesty, integrity, loyalty.
Yeah, and it's just, that's one thing I never really understood. It's like if everybody's going really well in one direction, why screw somebody else over for an extra 10%? That part is always, even living in LA for as long as I have, New York for as long as I have, that I still don't understand when people do that. I still naively look for the best in people. And sometimes my wife or my producer, Jason, or other people, apparently your parent will do that. They'll go, hey man, what are you doing? You got to be careful. And I'm like, oh yeah. Cause I have to take a step back. Cause I too prefer to live in a world where possibly a naive world where people are going to do the right thing because it's better for everyone. But
I'm a man of values, you know. I don't think I will ever give that up. I will never give up my honesty, my integrity, my loyalty. You know, I will never do that. It's I didn't grow up in that place. My parents are not that way. My grandfather was not that way. The environment that I grew up was not that way. My role models that I admired so much, animals, are not that way.
Sure.
You know, so I'm okay with the experience. Obviously in the beginning it was painful, you know.
Yeah.
You get to experience fight flight avoidance. You get to like feel this let down.
Not sleep for a couple weeks.
Listen, I already come from poverty. So it's not that I don't know how not to have money. I master that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I come from no money. So it wasn't about the people that stole my money. It was about people not following honesty, integrity. That's what hurt me.
Yes.
You know, to experience humans at that level when they were saying, you know, that we're honest people. They're in. So I believe on that. It's that part, like that naiveness part, the good human being side of it. I'm never going to let that go. I mean, it only made me more clear that I'm glad that I'm that way, you know, but I definitely went through some like very disappointed. I even make myself, put myself in a failure. You know, I'm a failure because I didn't recognize those situations, but that was not in my role to recognize those situations. You know what I mean? But I blame myself for a little while. So that's why, you know, tried to commit suicide and it didn't work. One of my biggest failures. You know, one of my biggest failures, not being able to kill myself. But, you know, when it, it's not meant for you, even if you put you in front of a bullet, as we call it in Sinaloa, it's not for you.
What elements of your poverty upbringing do you still have? You know, like my older relatives who survived World War II, they'll keep like ketchup packets in their purse. Do you have any sort of...
I'm not a hoarder. No.
Not a hoarder. Of course. But is there anything else where it's like, oh, when I get hungry, I start to like get real angry? Or you have any sort of quirks that you brought with you from the old country?
No, I just call Uber Eats.
What's that?
I just call Uber Eats.
You call Uber Eats?
I'm an American citizen, people. I don't hold ketchup stuff.
Yeah, that's funny. And they're like driving out here like, where is this place, man? It's six miles off.
No. From here, go eat sushi.
Yeah.
Rakita Shogun, perfect place. All you can eat for $23.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Well, maybe we'll hit there after this.
No, I don't have that. I like things clean. I don't like to, you know, collect anything that is not needed.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
just have dogs.
No, not even.
Not even.
No, I'm not.
Not
no
even.
Way. I have a limit. No, the 65 at that time, I mean, it was from 5 in the morning to 11 p.m. That was my life. And, you know, I was a dad at that time. I'm still a dad, but I was raising two little kids. And they will have to come with as I do, as I'm growing this business. So I'm glad because they're awesome with animals. So
yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, both of them have a TV show. You know, so that paid off.
Yeah.
You know, but no, I don't have anything like that. I still have the same desire of helping my mom and my dad.
Do you consider yourself now more Mexican or more American? Or I mean, obviously there's a blend.
You need both. You need both. Yes, you need both because Mexico is like my mother, you know, and America is my father. You know, as a father, it's more like the sense of direction. And the mother is the nurturing part of it, you know. So both of the countries have definitely made me who I am, you know. America has a great thing to help you to self-love yourself, you know what I mean? And to find who you really are now, and you know what I mean? Like, be the leader you want to be. Third world countries or Latino countries is all about being a follower.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's, so you don't, that's not, see, if you were born a leader... But if they tell you, no, well, you have to, you know, go and work for somebody else. And so you never get to be who you're born to be. And America is all about self-help, you know,
yes.
Self-realization. And America has the Tony Robbins, the, you know, the Wayne Dyer, the Oprahs of the world, you know, the Deepak Chopras, all of those people who are helping people to be themselves, you know. So in a third world country, we don't get it. You know, we don't get it. In India, I mean, if you're born in a certain kind of
caste,
yeah. Like that's who you were born to be. So if
I couldn't handle
it. You
that.
Know what I mean? Like the place where people go get good karma.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like the place for spirituality.
Yeah.
Then you have to stay in that. No, I mean, that's what America has. America has that ability to really bring that side of you. You know, I love the part of Mexico. Mexico is super family oriented. You know, here you become very self-oriented and over there you become family oriented. So the combination of both, you become a good PAC member.
Yeah. Are you recently married? You still engaged?
I'm engaged. I'm engaged to a Dominican awesome woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. She loves animals.
That's good. Have you ever dated anyone that's not?
My ex.
What?
Yeah.
She's like, hey, do you have any pets? You're like 65 dogs. She's like, check, please.
No. We just got pregnant too soon.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But, yeah. You know, I have two awesome boys from that. But she was not an animal person, so it wasn't going to work.
Well, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I imagine what kind of tension that would have caused.
Oh, yeah. We just... Not even thinking about that.
I heard Will Smith doesn't like animals, but Jada has like
Jada's my soul friend. We've been friends for 20 something years. Actually, the boxer that you saw here belonged to them. Yeah, Will is an admirer of animals.
Yeah, but he grew up in the city, so maybe he just didn't have any.
There's a lot of people that grew up in the city. Yeah. Jada grew up in the city.
Oh,
yeah, in Baltimore. Okay. Yeah, but just you're an animal person or you're not, you know? So, yeah.
Huh.
So,
I always find that I feel like there's a part of me that just thinks everyone's an animal person and just doesn't know it yet or something, but maybe that's naive. I don't know.
No, it's three kinds of people in the animal world. People who love animals, people who are afraid of animals, people who don't like animals. And that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? Those are the three energies in the world. If you think about it, some people love people. Some people are afraid of people. Some people don't like people.
Huh? Yeah. I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine not being around animals. Like, I grew up with dogs and now I have cats and I've got all kinds of, if it were up to my wife, we would probably build a little shack back here somewhere. She would be petting dogs and training dogs and walking around with a bird on her shoulder.
Oh, that's the best, man. Yeah. That's the best feeling.
We were driving in and she goes, I want a place just like this.
Oh.
And I thought, okay.
Yes. Well. Oh, you haven't seen the whole place yet. But this, it is a dream. It is definitely the mecca for a lot of the dog people and the energy people. Because now we're inviting also yoga people, you know what I mean? And
we've
meditation
got that,
people. We got many different places for you to meditate and for you to do this connection to nature and yourself and your heart. And the thing is, we provide animals who are in a relaxed state. For example, if you want to do yoga right next to llamas and alpacas, the energy is incredible, you know, or emus, the energy is incredible. A horse, energy is
horse
incredible.
Yoga. Horse yoga. I've seen goat yoga where the goat's standing
on. Yeah, people are goats are on top of the people. Yeah, that's cute.
I don't get that one.
Yeah, it's best to walk with the goat than actually do yoga with the goat. The yoga is best with the animals who actually just lay. Like yoga around a camel, I can dig that.
Yeah?
Yeah, because
they're just hanging out. Relaxing?
Yeah, man. The energy that those guys do when they're chilling is what you need to imitate. The goat never chills.
The goats are always running around. Yeah, eating grass or worse.
So they're bouncing all the time. It's like,
right.
You can't concentrate.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, my last question, honestly, is what kind of lessons from the dogs are you bringing into your new marriage or your new relationship with your fiance?
Compatibility, number one. You know what I'm saying? Compatibility is definitely a main ingredient to be with someone for the rest of your life. You know, and then it's the values. Do we have the same values about life? You know, is the same purpose about life? Is the same meaning about life? Do we have our same spirituality? You know, and are we willing to follow in love 100%? You know, no matter what. And are we willing to make sure our senses are at 100%, you know, our eyes, our ears, our everything, you know, it's like, that's why exercise, discipline, affection, it affects your senses in a good way. You know, that kind of thing. And are we willing to build this business together? And we are, you know what I mean? So if the four worlds in some shape or form, you can partner with that person, you're going to build a good life, you know? And in my case, it's also we're building for the third time a business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this is my third time.
Yeah.
Picking up myself and taking it to another level, you know, business-wise. And it feels good. The team is smaller, but only Wolf in this time. Yeah.
Only Wolf?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Wolves are great hunters because they never stop hunting. So when you want to do business and you want to grow the business, you want those guys to be wolf-like.
Oh, so the people on your team are only wolves
wolf-like.
Now.
Wolf-like.
Right. No, as opposed to?
Dogs.
Dogs. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. The dogs are good for the maintenance.
Yeah. So you've got a hustler, go-getter team.
That's right. Then you follow, play, explore. You know, that's a dog thing. Yeah. Those are definitely more playful than wolves. Yeah. The wolf, you know, is known to be the greatest hunter in the planet.
Yeah. They don't turn it off.
They never turn it off. The Wolf of Wall Street, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, well,
you know,
maybe a bad example.
Yeah, well, I know, but he was a hunter.
Sure.
I mean, how he did it for the movie is a negative thing, but, you know, the spirit of a wolf, that's why a lot of Native Americans were very, you know, very respectful to the wolf. You know, it's in a higher place for family purposes and for medicine purposes and for Latinx. It's just right now the team is smaller but more powerful.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. I'm excited to see
what
happens.
Oh, man, I'm excited about it. I'm about to be 50 this year and loving life more than ever. The people that I have around me right now is definitely the people that I'm glad that they are with me right now in this era of my life. My kids are in a perfect place. Greatest woman on the planet. My parents are fine. And all these opportunities, you know, that's coming our way is incredible. You know, it's So you got to go down and then come right back. That's the beauty of life, you know, yeah. Like the whole thing about shaking yourself and move on and,
sure.
and do it again. As long as you don't feel your common sense, as long as you don't lose your common sense, as long as you don't lose your faith, as long as you don't lose your passion, you're going to be fine. You know what I mean? You're going to be fine. That's all you need not to lose. You can lose money all day long, but you can make it again. Especially a guy like me that came with no money. You know what I'm saying? So right. I just got to go do it again. That's it.
Cesar, thank you very much. This has been great.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Alpha, you did great.
Well, that was a fun show, Jason. Thanks for setting that up.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, that was a bucket list item, definitely, for me. I've always wanted to go up to the Dog Psychology Center, and this was just a fantastic chance to go meet the man, meet the animals, and have just a really good show.
Yeah, that was great. There was a lot of animals there. After you, I think, had to bounce, me and Jen and Ryan, we got a tour, and it was like, there's llamas, there's a tortoise, there's chickens and dogs everywhere and stuff like that, but all kinds of, there were emus we got to pet and hold, and a llama that came up, by the way, the llama's name? Lorenzo.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And so we, yeah, Lorenzo Llama, for those of you who are a little short on the, anyway, whatever. But we got to pet an emu. I mean, you don't normally get to go to the zoo and be like, I'm going to climb in the cage and pet the animals. So that was cool. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sad I missed out on that, but had to go back home and get back to work.
Yeah, well, we can go back there again, the Dog Psychology Center. I mean, they invited us to a barbecue. Cesar was surprisingly accessible, really cool, generous with his time. He was like, yeah, you guys got to come back and hang out, do more stuff, come to have some barbecue. And it was funny because he's like, I'm really good at cooking barbecue. And I was like, yeah, okay, every guy says that. And then all his employees and I think his kids were like, no, dude, you really got to come back and try the barbecue. Like, you really got to come back for the barbecue. So apparently he's really, really good at doing some barbecue, that Cesar Millan.
I got that from the staff and the family. They're like, no, dude, we're not joking. You really got to come back for the barbecue. I'm like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah, like, for real, though, that barbecue. So a great big thank you to Cesar Millan and everyone at the Dog Psychology Center. And if you want to know how we managed to book these great guests, we use systems, we use Tiny Habits, we use consistency, and some software, of course. And you can check out our system. It's free. We're teaching you this 6-minute networking. It takes 6 minutes per day. That's the idea. The course is free. It's at jordanharbinger.com/course. And I know a lot of people are like, I got to do that. I feel like every time you talk about it, you're talking to me. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Don't kick the can down the road. You need those relationships. When you need them, you're too late to build them. Then you're that guy or gal who's like, hey, bro, long time no see. I need a job, or can you sell my thing, or do you know anyone that has an XYZ? Look, the drills are designed to take a few minutes per day. It's the stuff I wish I knew 15 years ago, and I'm giving it to you for free. There's no upsell. It's not put your credit card in and get it. It's a free thing, damn it. Do what's good for you. JordanHarbinger.com/course. And speaking of building relationships, tell me your number one takeaway here from Cesar Millan. I'm at Jordan Harbinger on both Twitter and Instagram. There's a video of this interview on our YouTube channel at JordanHarbinger.com/YouTube as well. This show is produced in association with Podcast One, and this episode was co-produced by Jason, the podcast whisperer, DeFilippo, and Jen Harbinger. Show notes and worksheets by Robert Fogarty. I'm your host, Jordan Harbinger. The fee for this show is you share it with friends when you find something that you can use, which is in every episode. So please share the show with those you love. Share the show with those you don't. In the meantime, do your best to apply what you hear on this show so you can live what you listen. And we'll see you next time.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.